The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast, sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. Guys, welcome in to episode 19 of Coffee and Shell. I'm No Sleeves, he's Kesso, and we are here to break down the week that was in Shell, Hockey Ultimate Team, and all of that. And like we do every single week, we start with my man Kesso's week. How are you doing, and what happened in real life?
Doing really well, dude. The wife and I went out to dinner on Friday. We saw the new Jackass, Jackass Forever, man. 20 years later, they're still, dude, they're crushing it, okay? They're okay, like good. They're like me and Chell. It's like 20 years later, you know, he shouldn't be this good. Why is he this good? But no, the movie was hilarious. So my wife had never like gone to see one. I think she's seen like bits and pieces. I didn't know how she would feel about it because there's a lot of dicks.
It's a lot of dicks.
It's a lot of dicks, right? And it's just like kind of gross. She was laughing as much as I was. So it was it was a great time.
There you go.
But the bigger thing, I had not found a single thing in the past that you and I connected on like a personal level for like enjoyment besides NHL. Then I see this tweet that you have about the Book of Boba Fett, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you about that first and foremost. So Padre, if you're listening, mute this for the next like 5 minutes or whatever, because it's lightsaber talk and
spoiler
all that.
Spoiler alerts. We have to, if you have not watched Boba Fett, because, I mean, these are all Star Wars pops, so I don't know how you didn't figure this one out, but I'm a diehard.
I can't see that. Like, it's so small on my screen.
Fair enough. I'm a diehard Star Wars fan. I did not know that Kesso partaked in being a nerd with me other than just the NHL video game. But if you have not seen Book of Boba Fett yet, I have been bugged to go see it by my viewers or to watch it. So yesterday I started watching it. And episode 5 and 6 is like what was trending on Twitter. And I was like, all right, so I'm watching it and I don't really understand why. And then I fully understand why. So if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, what time is it? We're at 2:50. Skip to like 10 minutes. because we got to spend some time on this. All right. So, let me give you my takes on episode 5 and 6. And just first of all, the fact that can we say that this is probably the best Star Wars, I don't want to say content because it's not like it's like YouTube videos, like best Star Wars film or television that probably maybe of all of it.
Mandalorian in this is the best Star Wars stuff that's ever been made besides episode 5.
And I think it's because the original Star Wars, because it's so dated and it's amazing what they did. Like even if you watch it now, it's like this was in the 70s, because it was so advanced for its time. And then even like the new movies and the 1, 2, and 3 trilogy, it's like there's like this like hint of comedy or like, you know, it's not
this,
real.
Like, cheesiness to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, cheesiness to it. There is none of that because Mandalorian and Boba Fett is made to be like a Western, and mm-hmm. which is funny because episode six, but like it is made out to be like a Western and it's very serious and it takes away that like familyness of Star Wars. There's no like funny roly droids that like, you know, it's clearly for the kids or Jar Jar Binks or any of that nonsense.
Baby Yoda was pretty cute.
Okay,
but,
I mean,
know,
Baby Yoda was just a reason for Disney to print money.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it, and I am not a fan. Like I said, I've grown up as a Star Wars diehard fan. I've read every Disney novel that has come out that is canon. Yeah, I have them all over here.
That helps with the tie into the movies, too, right?
The stuff that the canon novels does is it makes it so when you're watching a movie and it's like an extra or someone that's not really important, you're like, holy smokes, I know all about this. Okay. For example, there's like a pilot that's in 7, 8, 9, and there's literally a whole novel about his backstory, and you don't need to know it, but it just gives the world much more immersion. And it sucks because like Lucas, while there's a lot of things Disney did that tanked the Star Wars franchise, Lucas was just lazy. A lot like the guy who wrote Game of Thrones. You know, his ideas were so good, but he's just very lazy.
Yeah.
And I think that because Disney is just trying to, and they just print money with Star Wars, the novels themselves were written so well by Star Wars fans and just great authors that it made those moments a lot better. And there was a million of them in 5 and 6. So I think that 5 and 6 did more to advance the plot after Return of the Jedi than episodes 7, 8, 9, because I hated 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
The switching of directors, I think, really did damage, because I remember there was a big deal with the director of number 8 hating what happened in number 7, and that is why you see like a lot of like love interests not really, you know, done anything. There's like very little Jedi stuff, and then episode 9 is kind of salvageable. It really completes things.
I'm getting angry hearing you say that.
Do you agree or disagree?
So, episode 7, I don't mind. It's complete copycat.
I don't mind it. It's fan service to the fans,
yes,
though.
But yeah. I don't mind it. I don't mind it, okay? Episode 8, there's that whole Finn plot where they go in the...
Yeah, and it's only
awful,
there to introduce... Yep.
Awful, yep. Okay? Then Snoke gets killed off. He's mm-hmm. introduced. There's no story about him. And then 9, it's like they got to the point where they bring J.J. Abrams, the director, back.
Exactly.
And they're
yeah.
like, how do we salvage this? And then it's like, oh, exactly. Palpatine's back.
Yep.
And it's just introduced in the opening, like, scrawl or whatever of the movie. And that's terrible, too. So, like, 7 I could deal with. 8 and 9 I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah, and I agree. It was the switching of the directors, because I don't remember who did 8 off the top of my head, but I know that he had
Ryan Johnson, I believe.
Yeah, he had a ton of things that he did not like what Abrams did.
Yeah.
I think that 7 was so much like 4 that it just was like, eh, kind of. And but I do enjoy it because it was like, you know, it's been 40 years or however many years since episode 3 or episode 6 that, like, I was okay. You know, mm-hmm. I did everything that I wanted it to do and introduce new characters. But what Boba Fett of 5 and 6, like, dude, when Mando goes back and it's the school that, like, Luke
that's
is
awesome.
Building, I
yeah.
was like, oh, okay, because that's barely, you know what I mean? Like, that is huge for what happens in 7, 8, 9, for Kylo Ren, all of it, right? Because that's
exactly.
the school it tears down.
Yeah.
And all of that. I just thought that was just so well done. There was so much of that. And, dude, do you think that Baby Yoda is literally Yoda's... Okay, so when he does that, like, flashback, right?
Yeah, and
he's
on
flashback
Order 66.
His flashback is Order 66 in the temple on Coruscant. I'm like, oh, my God. So he is in the temple where Yoda, like, obviously, him, the leader of the council, it's like that, like, it's like, okay, all right. I don't know. I thought that was amazing, and I love it. I love it. So
it's a great show. There's a little bit of sadness in it for me because I know no matter what, it leads to like episode 8 and 9, and it's like. But as long as all that's in between, I can enjoy. I'm assuming the technology they're using for Luke.
Oh my God!
Phenomenal.
Dude,
like I noticed they don't show his dialogue too much and his mouth moving, but outside of that, it looks like him from like 1980.
It's incredible.
And it's crazy, so I'm hoping we see more of it. I'm hoping we see everybody, you know?
I mean, dude, like, the whole, like, again, and, like, the whole Boba Fett storyline where he becomes, like, a sand, or, you know, one of the sand people, and then, like, him showing, like, you know, what happens at Jabba's palace after. Like, it's just incredible. Like, it is. I'm much more interested in what happened directly after episode 6, like, on Tatooine, than I am at any of the shit that happens in 7, 8, 9. And, you know, like, it just, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't wait for the next episodes, and I don't even know. Oh, dude, using the Naboo Starfighter.
That
movie is so bad. And, you know, like, we can admit that, like, it is just awful, but that was cool. Like, that was like, okay. And,
they're
dude, it's like a supercharged car.
Yeah, they're tying everything together so well, even from the shittiest parts of the Star Wars series.
And that doesn't happen in any of the other Star Wars, like, films and all of that. Like, it was just really, really well done. And, like, dude, when it's been a while since I've watched Mando, but Fennec, when she's, like, almost killed on Tatooine in Mandalorian, is that, like, at the exact same time with Boba Fett when he, like, saves her?
I don't know.
It had been so long since I've seen Mandalorian, but I'm almost positive.
I don't
positive.
Like rewatching shows. Like, yeah. Like, usually it takes me years, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll rewatch Breaking Bad in 5 years, and it ended, like, 10 years ago. So yeah. I don't have an answer for you there.
I'm almost positive. And if that's the case, like, dude, it just meshes so well.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm excited for the next week episode. So, okay, sorry, guys. Oh, 10 minutes, perfectly. We're back to Hockey Ultimate Team. That's our Star Wars. If you want to hear us talk more about random stuff like this, please let us know in the comments.
We have to do it in the summer, man. You know that?
I know, dude. There's nothing going on.
That might be a great summer thing, because we have nothing planned, right? So we have guests. Maybe me and you watch a show or something.
Yeah, dude, that would be pretty fun, dude.
We can always do a book club, you know? We can be a 60-year-old woman and doing a book club.
I'm all for that. All right, yeah. Fair enough. All right, you're going to lead the topics today.
So we had a new event, right? We had the
Our master sets.
We have to rank our master sets. And I feel like you and I are going to be spot on with this, I hope. Okay.
So my video's done again, so my video I can't
watch. I don't watch your videos, so that's perfect.
Rude. First, yeah. Rude. So there's that.
So we're going to rank our master sets, right? And I actually put a little bit of effort. I was really excited to do this episode because there's a lot that happened in this week. So ranking the master sets, right? We have 5 of them, I believe, right? 5 master set players. Number 5.
Can we agree all bangers?
All really good, yeah. All really good players.
Fair enough. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I have to put Leonard there because there's so many goalies with gold post to post now.
Dude, the last 4 events, if you made one of the goalies, it's like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah. But
I'll admit this. They know what is the meta for goaltenders now, clearly. And they are making it where making the goaltender is like a viable option, which I'm okay with. You know, like Leonard on paper should be the best, but he's not enough of an improvement over Price, Hellebuck, Rene, who have all just happened.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
I had Leonard at 5.
Number 4, I have Hosa.
Bang, same.
Awesome.
I think that's because of our number 1. That's the reason why he's number 4 for me.
Yeah, probably,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
3 and 2 are probably interchangeable, but I had 3 as Lindell.
Yep. Let's go.
Look at that. 3 for 3. Number 2, if I said it was interchangeable, I have Holzer.
Yep.
Okay.
Bang, let's go. We actually got it all done. All right.
Number 1, I have Larkin.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I think Larkin is a must make.
I don't agree.
Okay.
Talk to me about why. Yeah, a lot of people were asking me, like, especially as I was streaming Champs this weekend and stuff, they're like, hey, who'd you make from this event? I'm not making any of them right now. So my reasoning on the Larkin was, first off, my team's really good. Like, there's no real upgrade that he would be. Like, he'd be slightly better than, like, a third liner. Like, I have Gabrick on my third line, right? But, like, my first two, it's, like, McDavid, Rantanen. So, like, I wouldn't want him over them.
You wouldn't play him at center?
No, I wouldn't. I have McCann and Zetterberg.
You wouldn't play him over Zetterberg? You got to explain that one to me.
It's not that I wouldn't play him over Zetterberg. It's that, why would I spend 500, 600K in collectibles?
Pretend coins isn't a thing.
I'd probably play him over Zetterberg. Yeah, for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I would. He's better than Zetterberg. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
But my thinking is that I always build my team around the GWC, right? GWC. I was expecting an announcement this week. They filmed some content, it looked like.
I think it will come either...
I'm saying
early
Tuesday.
This week. Yeah, I would say Tuesday this week, and if it's not this week, it'll be next week.
Yeah.
I'd be almost guaranteeing, so we'll hear about GWC.
Yeah, but Larkin, 6'1", 97 excel in speed. I don't know if he has any excel or speed synergies. I doubt it because he's already like almost 99. Good shot, good abilities. I think he has, what, Goldborn leader?
Gold Wheels.
Gold Wheels, okay. Gold Wheels. I think he has Silver Quick Draw.
Yep.
Great card. I just think that in the next month or two, there's going to be so many 6'1", like 96, 97 plus speed players that the coins, like if you are going the coin route or the collectible route, like there's just going to be better cards.
I don't know if they will, man.
You don't know if they will?
Okay, so if we're tracking the centermen that have the possibility of doing what you're saying, so over 6'1". So did you think Jokinen was a must-make?
I had him there, yeah. So Basically, am I saying the 1-inch with gold quick draw makes the difference between a must-make and a not-make?
That's what you're saying, bro.
I know that's what I'm saying.
Let's pretend you don't have...
You're pointing out all the hypocrisies here of myself.
I'm trying, pretend you don't have a god squad.
Okay.
Like, if I don't have a god squad,
Larkin's there.
If you don't have Duchesne, yeah, and you don't have McCann, because a lot of the people don't have those two.
Yeah.
And you don't have Zetterberg, because, again, that might be one that it'd cost too much. If you don't have those three players, you would make Larkin.
Larkin's pretty good. I would consider it, yeah. I just don't understand. Sleeves, I'm such, like whenever I'm making my GWC team, I'm literally, it's like 6'3 and above, maybe 6'2.
I guess, man.
I know, and maybe it's not good. Maybe I'm just just one track minded with that.
I want people to hear this, that when I talk and I discredit someone who's 6 foot and under, that Kesso takes it to the next degree. All right,
listen, anyone listen to this? I'm not the best player. I know that, but I do things like this to compensate for that. You guys watch my streams. I'm winning 97% of the time. Right? I'm not Ecky. I'm not Gren. I'm not Regs. I don't have that same skill level. I can build my teams really
well. We're
going to
talk about that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we will, right? I'm excited for that, too.
So, okay. I think Larkin is a must-make it again. You hear a couple reasons why. If you've been holding on to, like, leaders, there was no one that you should have made. Like, if you are holding on and you can only make a MasterCard that you can get fully upgraded, every 2 or 3 weeks, leaders shouldn't have happened. Jokinen, you should have. And then the reason why I think Larkin is because he can play center or he can play wing. And there is not a lot of cards that can do both very, very well. So that means that he's going to have much more lineup flexibility than opposed to Marian Hossa, who is left-handed winger.
Yeah.
He can't play center. So, you know what I mean? Like, that means that there's 8 spots on your team that he can fit. I think that Holzer is close. Oh, the other thing is the All-Star cards. My God. I'm so happy that the people that sit on the auction house, because I did it, I was streaming at a little All-Star game watch party.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching it, and dude, there was maybe one or two guys that were just buying every single card that scored immediately when they scored. And I could tell because they would set it for the same start price, they would have no buy now, and it would be right up right after they scored. So there was someone doing that, and I guarantee you that they made very little money, because at the end, no one realizes, like, everyone thinks, oh my God, you know, other than Giroux, obviously, who won, and I guess we'll talk about him in a second. Mm-hmm. But, like, no one realizes that when you buy all these cards, people are buying them not to use them. They're buying them with the thinking of, like, oh man, they're going to be so expensive because they went up a couple goal overalls.
Yeah.
And then the problem is the market's flooded with them because everyone just undercuts because they have no intention of actually using them. And almost all of them, like the 91s, are like 60K and under. Like all of them. Dude, Jack Hughes, I think, was like 80. Like,
he's a 92, isn't he?
He's a 93, bro.
He's a 93.
Maybe it was 105.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like, it was something absurd. I just did a video on it, and I was just like, it's because, man, no one is going to buy them because they're all just going to keep dropping price, and that's it. And
yeah,
it happens with the World Junior event, and it happens with this event every single year.
There's only one event where these things are. It's that Evo event.
It's the Evo event. It's my favorite event. I told everyone to sell their entire team to get Duchesne.
Yeah.
And so like it's it was an interesting event. I think Giroux was one of the most boring ones that could have won MVP.
I was glad he won MVP. Here's why. I don't want the card.
True. So, like, yes, exactly. Yes.
I was following like we were at the store or something whenever the event was going on or whenever the games were going on. And I had a tradable Pavelski. I was like, oh, maybe he has a chance because I think it was going into the final game. He had like 3 points maybe. I was like, if he gets a couple goals here, he has a chance for MVP. I could sell him or something. He ended up being like a 91. He's worthless now.
He's worthless.
But Giroux won, and I'm like, he's 5'11", I think, maybe. He's a good card, but he's not really that much better than a lot of the stuff that's out there.
It's going to sound insane. He legitimately cannot replace anyone on my team.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't replace him with anything on my team. Let's pretend
size isn't like a massive concern. But like my top, if you're hot rich, like I think those are the people that are going to go out for him. However, he's going for less than 300K.
And he's a 95. He's basically a new MSP.
He's a 95. Like, yeah, like I would make, I told him in my video today, if he is 280K, that is a must buy. Because there is no one at 95 that has 96 speed or 97 speed with buzzing that is under like 400K. Like he's Larkin only 5'11".
Yeah.
And Larkin's going to go for like 600-700 tradable. So I think he does need to be bought for a lot of people. Like this event, dude, you could buy an entire team because there's so many 89s. You could buy an entire team of these things. And be like in goods, but they're going for like less than 40K, less than 50K.
So I was thinking about this, right? Like if there's like a new event, like this event, realistically, this Nations of Hockey should have been the banger event that's like driving up prices. Things are still like dirt cheap.
It's because all of those cards were 89 overalls. Yeah, so when you inject 40 or 50 players that are all 89 overall, so while those are able to be pulled, there's so many more cards that are 89 overall in the player pool that you can pull from that once they're gone, the 89s are going to shoot back up. Like, dude, right now I went and looked, they were going for under 40,000 coins. At 40,000 coins, that means that you can make one of the master sets from making it all the way to 95 for 412,000 coins.
Oh, geez.
And I would make Larkin, I'd make Holzer, I'd make Lindell, and then I'd probably stop and I would just wait. Or even if you don't make any of the defensemen, just wait. Like, there is a very, very good price. But the second All-Star is done and you can't pull these things anymore, they're all going into sets. People aren't using them, buying them to use them for the most part. Yeah. And then they're just going to slowly die out. And then the 89s are going to be hard to pull again. And that's it. Because all it is like...
People are pulling. Dude, I pulled a ton of them.
I pulled five out of a $100 pack opening. I pulled five of them.
Okay. I felt good. I had my Diamond Choice pack and I pulled the McDavid one. And I sold that thing immediately.
Dude,
for like
I tried to tell everybody. He was going for like 220,000 coins. And that's like, because everyone thinks that when these events happen, everyone assumes the cost is always what everyone assumes he's going to do. No one takes the risk involved in it.
But did they think he would win the fastest skater?
I mean, I think he was.
But even if that was the case and he won the fastest skater and he was
he goes
99.
Up five skating. He went from 94, 95 speed up to... Oh, it'll be 94 speed up to 99, which
and
is...
Did they think he would just get, like, seven goals in the All-Star game?
It's Connor McDavid, so everyone just assumes he's going to score a bunch.
Nobody tries in this thing.
That's why I'm saying, like, okay, maybe he does, right? If he play that out. If he was going for 220,000 and he won fastest skater and the MVP, he's probably, like, 400K. So you lost out on, like, 200K. And that's if everything hits right.
We talked about this last week or the week before when we were looking at past game MVPs.
Yeah,
I would bet my money almost all the time it's going to be a person that's like in the bottom third of like who you expect. Yep. You know, like the one year was Hurdle, John Scott. Like it's always just going to be like a
because they don't care, dude. The Pacific, bro. They played the first game, dude. They looked like they just got into one the night before. Peter DeBoer even said I was so hungover.
They did.
Like,
good for that.
It's awful.
A fun time, you know.
Yeah. But I think that everyone was watching, like, yo, why aren't they trying? It's like, dude, they probably just had 15 beers 8 hours ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I think that it was a really fun weekend for Hockey Ultimate Team. I think it was really good. I think the new event is amazing. Finally, you know, all banger cards. And we got five more coming up this Friday. But, yeah, if you are looking to set yourself up, man, the 40,000 coins for those 89s, I'm buying immediately because those are just so cheap. So, and it's not going to last much longer. After tomorrow, once they're out of PAX, this is Sunday night. Once they're out of PAX on Monday, that's it, GG. So,
Next thing. Yeah, so next thing. We had a new Hot Champs reward structure or new player items that you can get, right? So Hot Champs player items like 2.0 or something. So Brandon introduced this EA Hawk. Is it Brendan or Brandon? It's spelled Brandon.
I think it's, I know, I think this is like tomato kind of thing. Okay. Like if you all say Brendan or Brandon, I don't think it matters.
All right. So now you can exchange your three Hot Champs collectibles for an 86 overall Hot Champs item. You can upgrade those players to 94 overall using power-up collectibles or coins. The max now is 94, but every single month they'll go up plus one overall. So starting in March, the new, you know, they release four players. Those players can be upgraded to 95 overall. And I really like the player choice that they did. So we had like Pierre Engvall, Danny DeKeyser.
Like those players or their builds?
Their builds.
Okay,
the player choice
say,
I don't really care about, right? But I think he did a good job on like the player builds, right? He had like a speedy winger. He had Cogliano.
I've said this before. Like he was a Div 1 hut player. Like they used to grind the game, so he really understands like the meta.
Yeah. So you have now you can make like I think Cogliano goes up to like 98 Excel, 96 speed. You have him. You had the Engvall. I made Engvall because I had like 30 or 40 like Hut Champs collectibles. So I made Engvall 6'4". He has like 93 Excel, 91 speed, high shooting. And I was thinking like this guy would be perfect like third line for my GWC team. I have that locked in now. I don't have to worry about it. And then there were two like 6'3" defensemen with like shutdown. Every defenseman gets gold shutdown. But it sounds like every single month there's going to be a new crop of players released you can work towards throughout the month. These pass sets won't go away. Next month there might be more players, like maybe a couple more players. Did you have any opinions on this new process?
No, I'm a little, I guess I was stupid and I used my things for power collectibles. I get five every week because I just get to 11 wins.
Yeah.
And it's definitely better than it was not needing Hut Champs collectibles to upgrade them. Using power-up collectibles. I think we're at a point now where we need alternative routes to get power-up collectibles.
It's very hard to get them.
It's because it's a very awkward, like, way to do it. It's like 80 to 80 overall plus cards, right? So, like, but the problem is that, like, 83 and above is really what you use for events. 81s and 82s will never return value because they're at least 1,000 and over. So, yeah. Like, you're never going to get value for them per collectible. So that's kind of annoying. Dude, I'm not going to lie. Let's get into this a little bit, maybe. I just thought about this while you were talking. I'm sick of this structure. Like, I think X-Factor is really fun addition to the game, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the worst things to happen to Hockey Ultimate Team was the gold collectible system. And that was introduced to get away from the every time there's a new event, you have to get new event types of collectibles, which was the worst. For anyone that hasn't played Hockey Ultimate Team for more than 3 years, what used to happen was a new event would come out. So let's say this event, there would be like these specialized, well, there kind of is already, but the only way to make these cards was to get, let's say, the Nations of Hockey collectibles. You could get them in packs, you can get them, you know, whatever. And then you would have to make these collectibles or get these collectibles, and that's how you would make the master items. And there would be a new event collectible every single type of event. So, you know, there would be like, you know, the Halloween Rivals collectibles, all that. So they went to the gold collectible system to simplify everything, and it was not intended to take over the economy. And then slowly that's just what it did. This was like intended where you get to upgrade your cards at your own pace, all of that. But really, it is just another collectible type system. Okay, let's pretend they removed collectibles, right?
Okay.
How would you want to see these cards upgraded?
Either through progression or coins, I would guess, right?
What do you mean by progression?
Score 100 goals with them, score 200, 300 goals, right? Yeah,
and
I know. Listen. I am not defending them by any means.
I've talked about the parallel system like an MLB ad nauseum, and it is really right now. It is probably the thing I've learned as a game changer over the 4 years that I've been a game changer, that you don't want to have your opinion on multiple different subjects because it usually just gets lost because you're not really continually harping on one thing. You're more effective as a game changer when you pick a thing and you are just strong. Tugi and roster sharing would be a perfect example, right? Like that, like, you know, he had other issues and, you know, ideas and whatever, but like all you heard was roster sharing for like 3 years, right?
Yeah.
My thing now is like the parallel system in MLB, or parallel system is upgrades or guaranteed rewards in that, like being able to upgrade your cards. But dude, it is just the cost to go up one overall, you know, now that we're near the end game, I think that if you played the game all the way through, it was worth it to just keep doing the upgrades, right? But because there's no mass release and reset of cards like there is in MLB, where every 4 months or 3 months, 2 months, maybe there's an affinity program where there's 30 new cards that you could just play the game now, pick up the game, and you would get cards that you could compete with, and you'd be fine. There's none of that in NHL, so it gets very difficult to make a free-to-play team, start the game late, and then be able to catch up, or at least get close, keep the gap close, right? There's none of that in NHL, and, you know, I'm sick of the 100K to up. It's just very boring.
Oh, it sucks. I mean, Ovechkin just had an upgrade, right? I spent like 4 power-up collectibles, like 100K realistically.
I am okay with the highest tier being whatever the highest live series card that comes out is. So if he doesn't upgrade until there's new prime time that gets him to a 91, 92, 93, etc. Like, that tier doesn't unlock. There should be, you have to perform with that player every time and you get XP. And then it upgrades. So, for example, you get 3 times the amount of XP by playing online and scoring a goal online with that player, right? Now, the first complaint would be, well, whoever plays the game the most is going to have a godlike team. How is that any different than what the system we have right now? The people that can play 40 hours a week benefit by far the most because they can play enough squad battles and rivals and hut champs to get the most amount of rewards, to make the most amount of collectibles, to upgrade the system. If you have one card you like, you have much more of an attachment to it because you're like, I need to score goals or get points with this player. And if you don't, you still get XP if you play a game online. You get, like, you load in and your entire team will get XP because they played a game. Kind of like Pokemon, right? But if they score online, you would get, you know, maybe 150 XP online. But if you do it in squad battles, you know, you get 50. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. That is how it should be. And it just drives me nuts that, like, we're never going to get that, bro. It is never going
to
be
that.
It is
always. I've come to that. So that's why, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, with this new, like, hot champ structure for player rewards, I'm happy about it because I have zero confidence that we're going to get any of the things that we actually want in the next 2 to 3 years. And by the time we do, we're probably, you and I might be doing different things with our lives, right? It's one of those things you have to accept in life. You're not always going to get what you want.
And this isn't an EA NHL thing, by the way.
No, it's an EA thing.
EA is all about adding economies as opposed to simplifying them. So in MLB, which is by far the best Ultimate Team mode that is out in sports gaming, has one economy, and that is coins, stubs, right? So coins like you would in that. There, you can buy players, that's all you do. You buy packs with your coins, you buy coins with real money, and then you can take those coins and buy stuff and buy packs. Like, that's how you buy packs. There isn't like buy points and then do it. But even if you take away spending money, like, you upgrade cards, you can do it via coins, but it is such a disadvantage to you to do that, like, you're just grinding to get collectibles. We're just always going to have these stupid collectible systems, and it's just never going to improve, which makes me a little sad. And, you know, I've been getting so into MLB, and I'm going to be really focusing on MLB. My goal this year, I'm going to speak it into existence, is to become a MLB game changer. I think it's a SDS partner. I think it's what they're called. That is my goal this year. I spent the last 2 years of MLB learning the ropes. Last year, I really understood from start to finish the game and how it works and the market and all that. And I'm really excited to make content for it this year, much like I do with NHL. Not that NHL is going to stop. It's just that's because the game is just so much more fun in terms of like a team building aspect. Like, I love, you know, like the ability, if I score 100 goals with Connor McDavid, that he goes up and like that's a flex. As opposed to just like, here's the arbitrary I clicked. I got enough players that I don't care
this
about.
This is just a common theme throughout EA Sports games.
Madden has 15 different currencies. Like, it's awful.
Madden is the worst sports game that's ever been made.
Yes.
NFL Blitz. Give me whatever. I don't care what game it is. Madden's the worst sports game ever made right now.
I would agree. It is so sickening, confusing. Pay to win. And
every year.
I mean, that's football in general.
No, but dude, here's the thing. Every year I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to get back into Madden. I get the free game through the EA Sports Game Changer program. I don't even pay money for Madden. I still feel ripped off. I try to play Ultimate Team. Like you said, there's a ton of different currencies. It's so confusing. Like, you need a PhD just to even play the damn game.
And it is a very difficult game. There's a big learning curve to Madden. Because like if you don't understand zone defenses or what man-to-man looks like and how you beat a cover two, it's like
but Sleeves, all those things are broken with the AI in the game. Like they don't work.
But like
they
there's no way in game to learn about that stuff.
No, there's not.
And that's right,
those
that
things
makes
don't
it
work.
Difficult. No.
Yeah.
Well, what's what's
we
the
have
next
a good
topic?
Segue here because you had this tweet earlier that I wanted to talk about for a little bit. This is my favorite topic, right? You tweeted out and it got a lot of traction. I'm not sure there's ever been an NHL video game. I'm reading it right now. I'm not sure if there's ever been an NHL video game in which you can dictate play, control the puck, put great chances on the goalie, and lose. Has anyone else had the 10-minute TOA lose by one with an opponent was pushes? You had some typos in here. Has anybody had as many games where you've had 10 minutes time on attack and your opponent's had three and you lose by a goal in it more than in NHL 22? I can't read this grammar, Sleeves. This is a terrible grammar by you. But
yeah,
anyway, a lot of luck-based, you're saying, in NHL 22, right?
So what I mean by it is if you watch my streams, for anyone that's listening to this, watch my streams. Everyone knows that this year, or at least people like that have watched me, I have struggled more in this game than any other NHL game. And again, the meme of me being bad is fine. I probably beat most people that say I'm bad. But, like, I cannot figure out myself. I can teach people. I could watch someone's gameplay and be like, this is what you're, like, you know, like, this is what you're doing. And I think that's because I've watched so much esports. You know what I mean? Like, and all of my friends like you, like, my best friends in this community are the best in the world, essentially. And I'd, like, pick their brain about, like, what strategies work and things like that. And I understand the game really well, but for whatever reason, there is something that I'm not grasping. And the amount of games that I will win where I am significantly controlling the play is getting to the point where it's sickening to me. Like, first of all, I think it's mental, like where I just assume I'm going to lose if I can't score. A lot of it, people will be like, time on attack means nothing. You know, you're just circling in the corner looking for a backdoor pass. I don't think that's it either, because a lot of the times I'm remembering the videos that you have put out about behind the net and those passing plays, point shots. Like, I cannot find a way to, like, break through in a lot of those games where I should win. And I don't think time on attack is the end-all be-all stat. What I think it does show is that your opponent has a significant inability to actually get the puck and defend you well, to get it back. And if you can control the play that much, it is just you have that much more opportunity to score. And if you're out shooting your opponent as well as like tripling their time on attack, again, the shot stat is very misleading a lot of the time, because obviously you give a backdoor one timer up. That is, you know,
that can be worth way more than 10 shots.
Yeah, just point shots. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I understand that, but I am someone, we've mentioned this on the podcast about how about being self-aware and like when I lose or when you're bad or you're not doing, you know, it's your fault. And I just cannot for the life of me figure out how I've become this much worse at NHL than I have from like last year, where I was a one win away from making GWC, the one, top 128. I just cannot figure it out. And the only thing that I've come back to now is that this game is significantly more sim-based than all other NHLs that we've had in the last 20 years. I think this is the closest to real hockey that we'll probably ever get. I don't want to say ever, but we've ever gotten, I think.
Yeah.
And now I know people are going to roll their eyes or already typing and smashing a keyboard about, this isn't real hockey. Let's compare it to, like, what it was. Like, let's compare this game to the old games. Like, the passes actually get intercepted. Like they didn't in 21,
yeah.
Where every pass, because the pass intercept model was turned off, there's no more half spin to get speed like there was in NHL 19. You can use smaller players for speed, unlike NHL 20, where everyone had to be 6'3". So, and then not to mention the stick in physics. What I come back to is something that happens a lot when the developers and stuff are shown EASHL clips. Where it's like, how is the player wide open and a backdoor one-timer or backdoor shot, and it's a, you know, it's a sniper build with 95 shooting. Why does that miss? And something that has been publicly stated is that there is a, you know, in hockey, there's a human error factor. Sometimes they just miss, right? And I hate that in a video game. And I feel like in this game specifically, it happens a lot where the randomness that happens in hockey happens in the video game. And I hate it in a video game because it's in franchise mode or squad battles. Sure, you want to mimic it. But if you are trying to play the game online competitively and you want to win, I don't want as much randomness as there appears to be in this game. Thoughts?
So I think every single year we've gotten a little bit more on the luck side. That's just because the game's gotten more realistic, right? It still doesn't stop people like me or Gren, or I'm putting myself in that, you know. But, like, you know, those people are still going to win, like, 95% of the games, right? But I think what you're seeing now is the same thing that's happened in Madden the last 3 years. And it's not even the sim-based thing. It's the abilities this year are ruining some of that. So I forget what year X-Factors were introduced in Madden, but it might have been Madden 18 or 19. But there was one, it was like armbar or something where like players would just like stiff arm people, right? Yeah. So yeah. Like you had this thing where it's like if you played good defense and you tackled somebody, right? You'd probably make the tackle, right? If you had like three people around them. But because there was that X-Factor, like Ezekiel Elliott would break like three tackles in one play. So now in this game... especially if you're playing against, like, maybe somebody that you're a Division I player, Sleeves. Let's say you're playing against a Division III player. You're going to outchance this player, let's say 3-1. Let's say you have three backdoors. He only has one. You have post to post. It's 4 points to activate. Almost every single person I play against online has gold post to post activated. It's a it just diminishes the skill gap in the game whenever these goalies, I think, just have such a huge impact on a game. And it's at such a minimal cost, right? So even if you're outchancing an opponent, the goals aren't just going to go in, right? Because they're just going to slide over perfectly every time. You have that. You have the fact that defensive X-Factors are so cheap to activate, right? Every team has at least two defensemen with gold shutdown activated. So now you have a more defensive game. Already defense is easy to play, so there's less chances overall. The skill gap's diminished, in my opinion. And you just have more, like, there's so many games where I play, I win a game by one goal. This was a game last year, maybe I win by three or four goals. So whenever somebody in your situation where maybe you're not outchancing somebody as much as I would, you're going to have more of those random results, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree that abilities kind of ruined that, but I do.
I don't really think about them too much because I think that I have abilities as well. So I think it evens out in the wash, but I think it does add to the randomness. I find that, or I think that one of the biggest impacts on this game is the fact that there is very little ability to create time and space. Because the stick in physics was added, and the stick being an extra layer, it impacts the game much differently than it did in the past. So like in the past, maybe your stick, like if you run into somebody, their stick goes through your body, okay? Whereas now, if their stick hits your stick, it's going to knock the puck loose. So, like, you have to stay away from people, which makes it much more difficult, which does promote the quick passing plays, which is good. I think that's good for the game. But the problem is you have the pass intercept models turned back on, and you have guys with the 99 defensive awareness.
You have that, but then you also have the passing just doesn't work half the time. Due to it being more difficult, it just locks onto the wrong person. Right.
The amount of times I want to pass from the point, but I'm trying to aim my one timer and I just send it out of the zone. Like I wonder if I want passing to be what it was. And I like that at the beginning of the year, it did promote a skill gap. Like if it made it much more difficult. Right. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just complaining just to complain because I'm losing. And a lot of that is what it is. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that could be it because, like, I'm having an okay time with the game, like, right now. And I'm winning a lot. This is the best I've played all year. You came to my stream today while I had one of the worst breaks I've ever had in NHL. And it's the stick physics are almost broken, right? Like, I had an L1 where I was kneeling down and the puck went through my guy.
It didn't go through your guy. It went right through the legs.
Like, no. It went through the legs, but it went through his gloves and stick.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
It went through his gloves and stick.
I think there is a point of the stick where it becomes the same model. Like, okay. You know how, like, the stick is a separate layer? I think it's, like, from the where the bottom hand is down would be my guess.
I don't know. All I know is I wanted to run through, like, a wall and not in, like, a great, like, I'm hyped up way. More of, like, I just want to break things. You're talking about the stick physics, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times throughout the game where, like, you're going for a loose puck and your stick's caught on, like, a guy behind you and you can't pick it up and the other team gets it. And then it's, like, a, you know, 2-on-1 for them. Those situations happen too much, too.
I also think that, like, as a game goes along in hockey, like an Ultimate Team mode game, it's the gameplay significantly changes. And I think that a lot of people, they don't realize that. People don't realize that the game is not built to have everyone over 90 overall attributes, because that makes it far different than what it was at launch. And I think NHL might be the worst game with max attributes.
Because it's not like when Ben Ross and the gameplay side is developing the game, like
they don't do it.
They're really looking at like World of Chell and like versus ratings, you know, and it's really tuned around World of Chell. Like people don't realize it. That's the number one mode in this game. That's what they care about, I think.
Bro, it hurts me so much how much the more they care about World of Chell.
And it's fine. I think it's a great mode. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy watching it, but like it's a great mode. It's fun to play. If I had more time, I'd play.
This is just selfish because like I'm, you know what I mean. Like I would play World of Chell as a if business wise if it held up. But the player base, it is played by so much more than what Hockey Ultimate Team is played. But nobody wants to watch it casually.
Why do you think that is? So I saw that, and I actually, I didn't write that down, but I saw your tweet about that. You had mentioned,
I tweeted out the other day.
Talk about it.
I tweeted out, guys, that, like, you know, it frustrates, again, this is peeling back the curtain of what a full-time content creator is like, right? So I'm a business. My stream and my YouTube channel is a business. I have to, you know, there are things that I do and the stuff that I cover. There is a reason for it, and that's because, well, it's a business, whatever's successful for me. If I were to stop playing Hockey Ultimate Team, I'm averaging 420 viewers a stream, I think, since the start of the new year.
Nice.
If I were to switch, yes, I'm blessed. I am blessed. Like,
I
meant
the 420 number if I was like 12 years old.
Oh my god! All right. Well, okay. So if I were to switch that to EASHL and just playing with my buddies and trying to grind for like Division One or whatever that is and leveling up my guy, I would probably drop to about 200, which is what I usually get if I play a different game that isn't NHL. So, like, about my core audience that watches me just for me.
Yeah.
And I simply can't maintain the level of growth and income by playing that because that would be me going backwards, right? Like, there's lots of days where I don't want to play Rivals. Dude, I'm sick of playing the same cycle that we've had since NHL 19. Like, I'm actually so sick of it. I think that at Game Changers, bro, like, there's a reason why Bacon Country is Bacon Country and the guys just leave. Because after a certain while, you're there long enough and it's just like...
Was he a Game Changer?
He gave up on the game, right? And it's like, I don't want to say everything's the same, but it's like... You know, everyone wants the game to be far better, including the developers. They do what they can. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they don't want the game to be worse. Like, that's just asinine to think. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's their job. They want it to be better. The better it does, the better they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just like, so Hockey Ultimate Team is what I have to play. And it just... For anyone that thinks that EASHL doesn't get nearly as much love as HUT is just either blind or ignorant.
I'm sorry. It gets way more.
Dude, if you go back...
They get a new interface every year.
Every year, if you were to go back from 18 and the changes that are done in NHL, look at the significant changes done in the game year over year from EASHL compared to HUT, and you guys would be like, oh my god, wow. You know, like you would stop the. They only care about
nobody
HUT
watches
so
it though. Besides,
but
like
no one watches it. Yeah, so it's only because they're playing it, and it's just like why? That's got to be. It's the complete opposite of MLB because MLB is 100% driven by its Ultimate Team mode, and it is basically given up on its other modes. Like franchise mode in MLB is barren. Like. Completely ignored.
Yeah, they don't get any upgrades.
And they don't care about it. But all of their resources are in Diamond Dynasty. And it is an incredible mode. And it's got full of engagement. Their social media is hype. Like, everyone is on point to it. But in HUT, or in NHL, because EASHL is so popular, you know, their small team has to set aside developer resources to improve the game year over year in EASHL because that is how that's their big moneymaker, that's their big engagement, that's where it all goes. And HUD is just like, nah. But like their best not their best, that's a very poor choice of words. Their biggest creators are almost all Hockey Ultimate Team. Nasher is transcendent of NHL.
I don't include him.
He is a hockey content creator. And
he's on Barstool. He's on
one
TNT,
of my closest buddies now in the community. Like I you know, I talk to Andrew quite a bit. He is awesome. But in terms of like the EA NHL video game creators, like there's a lot of great ones that just play EASHL, but their ceiling on Twitch and on YouTube is just, unfortunately, it's just, it's there. There's a significant ceiling, and you have to play Hutt. Like, when I started content creating, I didn't even want like Hutt. I didn't play Hutt until NHL 18
or 17. I remember when you started, because we were on the same EASHL team.
Yeah, dude, all I did was play Versus. It was just home wreckers. Dude.
Shout out to Josh.
I just played Versus. Like, that was all I did. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to stream and make YouTube content. And if you go back and look at my channel in the early days, it's like how-to videos in Versus, but it parlays obviously very well for Hutt. Yeah. And then it was like, oh my God, everyone, you know, everyone cares about cards and what the new cards are. And then I just like turned it into that. And now it's all I can play, because it's the time. I have so much time in a day. So, you know, it's just frustrating. That was a rant, but I don't want to say I don't trust, but like, I don't have faith that we will see significant improvements to Hutt until at least when cross console comes. And it's funny, because cross console, I think, fixes a lot of problems with the matchmaking, and, you know, being able to actually find games. That doesn't fix the problem in Hutt. That just allows them to create the things that fix, or that need to go in Hutt, because it allows them to make new modes, because they can't make new modes because the player base is so small, and they can't fracture off the community because they have to all be driven to one place, which is Rivals. But once there's cross console, that's gone, because the community is big enough on Xbox and PlayStation to actually support multiple modes. Then we can get a draft champs mode. Maybe then we can get comp seasons. We can get online. Like, all of that, the potential comes back. Do I think that they would actually develop more modes? I don't even know. But yeah. So anyways,
I did have a thought, though, on maybe the reasoning why. And it's more of like the one-on-one interaction, I think, you get whenever somebody's playing like Hutt or something. Because like, if I was playing like EASHL, I'm streaming with five other people, I'm focused on like the team, like communicating with the team. There's probably less interaction with the chat, right? There's not that one-on-one. And then somebody brought up the counterpoint where it's like, well, people watch like Battle Royale streamers and stuff, but that's how I saw it in the NHL world.
What I think is I think more people play EASHL than they play 1v1. Okay, that's fine. But they can't relate exactly to what it is. So if I play right defense and people want to watch me, let's pretend I'm, you know, every creator is the exact same, personality is the exact same. Take that out of the equation, right? I think that if you're playing right defense, right, people watch you play Hutt, the better players play Hutt, because they want to see what they're doing to get better. They want their info, their tips, what cards are they using, all that kind of stuff. If I'm playing right defense, they see my build, but it's like, what if you play center? They're not watching you, you know what I mean? Like, they're not getting that same level of, whereas I'm using all of these cards that you can obtain, multiple of them, and I'm doing the exact same thing that everyone else is doing. I don't know. I have no idea why the Ultimate Team mode gets that much more engagement than EASHL.
Do you think it's an oversaturation, too? So, like, Hutt, you can play at any time, right? For the people that do stream, like, World of Chow, EASHL, usually it's in that, like, 9 to 12 time slot, because that's the only time that, like, the tournaments or the leagues happen. And if you go on, like, directory, at nighttime, right? So if you go on the directory, there's 100 streams going on where it's, like,
LG
Anaheim Ducks against the Red Wings. Who the hell is this person? Why would I want to watch it, right? Or even the tournaments, there's always a lot of tournaments and, like, the gameplay going on. Who are these people? Why do I want to watch them?
I'll tell you this. EASHL esports, when there is something on the line, as someone who has covered pretty much every esports event for the last 3 years, I love watching Sixes when there is something on the line, because every goal and every movement and everything is, like, this tense, like, moment. Whereas, like, in ones, I don't get that as much. But
I grew up, right, because I was young whenever I did it. I started with, like, ESHL, and, like, I loved that first in NHL.
Yep.
I don't find the gameplay as fun to watch. Maybe it's because I do play 1v1 now, and I'm probably going to get, like, 50 hate messages because of that. I do find 6 is a little bit more boring now because it is more low scoring.
And I think it might be because their overalls are lower.
That's probably it, too, yeah. But
might
it's
just
like,
be that.
Yeah, it could be that. I don't know. I don't want to get like 50 hate. I love Sixes. Anything else you wanted to add to that? Because we had good questions to move forward to.
Yeah, lay it on.
So we had EA Hawk asked a question. And if EA Hawk asks a question on Reddit, I'm going to answer that first, right? So Get a couple, right? So question for this week, rate my riddle skills. Would love to keep doing stuff like that. So I think he does that more with you, with that seeing eye one and stuff. What do you think? Does he have good riddle skills?
I wish I could remember it word for word. So he came into my stream. Again, he's the EA content developer. So he's the one in charge of releasing the new master set players, all that. And he comes into a lot of our streams, not just mine, Henrique's, Rash's. He's all over the place. I think he comes in yours as well.
Yeah.
And he came up with a riddle, and I wish I could remember, but it alluded to the Olympics, and we all loved it. So I appreciate the fact that he interacts with the community, and it's kind of annoying, and I can get why people would be like, well, he just does it in Sleeves' stream or any big time streamer stream.
He comes into mine. I don't consider myself a big time streamer.
I think you are, dude. You're over 100 viewers is it's funny because, like, you know, maybe in the grand scheme of things, like if me and Henrique or Thrash are pulling a couple hundred and you only pull 100, 100 on Twitch, no matter the game, is top 0.1%. So,
okay, well, I guess I'll always have that view of myself, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that is just what happens because Twitch is just meant to, like, make you compete in a sense. So, like, which is why Twitch is one of the worst platforms.
Yeah.
It's an awful platform. But, I love the fact that he's interacting with the community. He understands the game very well, and I think that's why. You know, we don't see defensemen that are 6'6 with the ability to get the 94 speed. We will eventually because it's hot and you have to go up, which is why we talk about size so much. But he understands it. And, you know, smaller goaltenders are now viable because of post-to-post. But maybe that's what's ruining the game. Nuge mentioned it, so shout out to Nuge. And I actually don't mind post-to-post being in the game. I think that it helps. Again, you would never use a 6'3 goaltender.
Just make it more points. I'm sorry, yep. EA.
We talked about this.
We need this. We need the AP rebalancing. Come on now.
It's funny because, okay, again, maybe I'm gonna pull back the curtains a little bit. Someone posted in the Game Changer Discord about like what the AP costs were, and I did copy pasted mine, and I gave mine, and yeah, I made gold post to post 10 or 8. I made shutdown 6 for gold shutdown. I made like elite edges 4. It's some of the ones that are like 10 made like gold like close quarters. Part of me thinks that maybe that's the most overpowered one because they think that it's 10. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like they thought it was 10.
And sixes, it's very overpowered, right?
Yeah.
I think I read like that's the meta.
But that's because everyone shoots for pads.
Yeah. I don't know how many. I don't know the cards, at least, that have gold close quarters and hut. I don't see too many of them.
No, but it's 10. And there's no way that you can justify making 10. Even wheels. Yeah, you probably leave that at 10.
It's tricky at 6 points, and I'm sorry. There's only two situations where you can use that, the between the legs shot.
Wait, I put it at 6?
No, not you.
Oh, I put that at 1. I put that in my mind. I was like, make that 1.
But the game has it at 6. You can only use it the between the leg shot and then the like datsuk, like, you know, but you pull it back.
Yeah,
like,
what are we doing with that? Who is using that?
It doesn't even impact the Michigan for some reason.
Yeah, like it definitely needs rebalance. But the problem is they can't do it now. Because
they say they can't. So Junior Penn's brought up this counterpoint. It's like, I made these untradeable cards under the assumption that shutdown costs 2. But what's the difference between that and like a patch happening where, like, let's say they put out a gameplay patch where big players were just slower and it rebalanced between big and small players, right? So all of a sudden you're like, I made all these untradeable cards that are big. Now it's not as effective. You could say the same thing for anything that would impact the game.
I disagree with that because there's no way that big players will ever be completely useless.
Or you know what, save it all, just turn off the abilities for GWC.
I think that's what's gonna happen. I know it won't. I have no idea, man.
So EA Hawk didn't have his second part of that. We just went on for 5 minutes about some real question though. What are your favorite parts of being a content creator? Can imagine it's a grind, but what keeps the two of you going aside from it being a full-time job for Sleeves? So you go first, Sleeves. Besides it being a full-time job,
like, what is the thing I like about it?
Yeah, what are your favorite parts?
Like, at the core of it, like, I turned what I enjoy doing as a hobby into like a living that that's more lucrative than what was. I think I wake up and I never have the ugh, I gotta go to work, which I think is what everyone in life should try to do once. The whole shoot your shot thing, I quit my job at a time where I made at most $1,000 a month. I basically made enough where I did not put us in the red between me and my wife. I made enough. So it's not like I was making an exceptional amount of money and I just slid on over. We also don't have kids, and that takes a whole other, you know, you have to take responsibility of where you are at in life. The younger you are, you have a much easier time doing it. But my favorite part is, hanging out with chat. Everyone asks me, how do you play NHL all the time? Like, if you actually watch one of my streams, I play 3 games in 3 hours. And the rest of it is me just shooting the shit with chat. Because that, it's like 300 or 400 homies. Like, that I love. When chat is just buzzing, regardless of getting subs or not. Just, like, when it's buzzing, it's the reason why I started streaming. And then, like, the hitting go live on a video and refreshing and seeing the views, like, that I maybe it's because I'm a numbers guy. That, like, I love the entrepreneurship behind it, I think. And yeah, networking.
You hit on a few of the things. I think for me, because I'm not full time, I like it as a hobby, right? So, like, no matter what, I've been competing in this game for like 13-14 years now. And how I grew up, right? So, like, I remember going on like Madden forums, like subscribing to certain things like ebooks, and there wasn't that in NHL, right? So, like, I think, not to toot my own horn, I think I have the best, like, strategy stuff for NHL from that highly competitive player. I don't think there's another player on my level that's doing that type of stuff. So I take pride in that. You mentioned, like, the chat, right? So, like, today I won a game in overtime. And like, there's like 100 people in there. People are hyped. Like, I'm like, I don't show emotion too much, but like, I'm hyped too whenever that happens. That's a ton of fun. You mentioned the number thing. I don't, you know, obviously I'm not as big as you on YouTube, but like, I posted like the easiest way to beat the skill zone on NHL 22 video.
I remember getting 100 views and being like, dude, let's go.
I got like 200 views in like the first hour, and that was the best I've done in the first hour. I remember being excited, like refreshing and seeing that. I think no matter what, you have to love it as a hobby, and I think we both do. So that's, you know,
A lot of people that think that doing this job is like what they would love. I'm going to speak to the people that are full time real quick. There is a lot of people that attempt to do this or think they want to do this full time and don't realize that when they actually have to do what they have to do to make this a full time thing, you might not like it. You might not be okay with making 2 YouTube videos a day, streaming 3 or 4 hours every single day. The constant anxiety of being like, do I go and make more content? Like, it never really stops. It's like, I miss the 9 to 5 sometimes of my career before I left to do this, because at 5, shut off, done. Your responsibilities are done. Whereas 5 o'clock comes now, I now have to make the content video that for the new content that just came out. And then it's like, okay, I go upstairs and I'm hanging out my wife and I'm like, man, should I make another TikTok? I gotta go record the podcast.
And
it's
you're
like,
always thinking about stuff, I'm assuming.
Yeah, like, it never, yeah. And like that is part of the fun, but like it's a lot more anxiety than people think, and it's very difficult. Like, the amount of people that told me I would never be able to do this, like,
I remember them sleeves. I remember whenever you said that, there were a lot of jokes and stuff. I'm so glad that you did, you know.
I went into streaming NHL not because I wanted to stream NHL, but I was like, I want to become a full-time streamer. And I started my YouTube channel because I knew that I've researched enough and was like, this is how you get the most amount of eyes on you, and then you drive them to your Twitch channel. So I slowly grew my YouTube channel. I made 1 video a week for the first year, and then my YouTube channel became bigger than my Twitch channel. And then finally in NHL 20, it all kind of just slammed together, and I got like I hit my height where I'm at right now. And it took me 5 years. I just realized that, like, January 1st, I posted my first video and streamed NHL for the first time January 1st, 2017. So it's been 5 years now. It took me of making content basically at least every other day for 5 years. So it's not, you know, not easy.
Yeah. But no, you're one of my favorite stories on there because I've talked to you on here for like 5 years now. Yep. Almost. Right.
I met you very early.
You did. And I remember I remember whenever your Twitch was like starting to grow, you'd have like 70, 80 viewers and stuff before you went to work.
Yeah.
And you just put in so much effort. Like, you were doing that like 3 or 4 hours stream in the morning. Then you were going to work
8 hours a day.
And you're
like
going to do it. And I love seeing the dedication. And it's just awesome to see. Dude,
I was a robot during that, bro. It was bad.
It was probably exhausting, but it's like, it is inspiring for, you know, a lot of people. And it's great to see like somebody like, you know, set their mind and, you know, I'm going to do this thing, you know, not to make your ego bigger than it already is. But I love your story, Sleeves.
Hey, appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. All right. So we have some other questions. Let's see.
It's a longer episode today because we like you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we're like an hour already. But I like the questions this week and I didn't want to ignore some.
It was like the Boba dude is the 10 minute Boba Fett thing
that put us back in the skill gap. And then
went on rants. There was no
outline
today.
This is the best episode.
Weird.
Listen, I have if you guys are ever in Pittsburgh, Hitchhiker Brewery. I have a Hitchhiker beer right now. I'm enjoying myself.
I was about
myself.
To say it looked like a Guinness, bro. You're eating dinner out of that glass.
It's delicious.
I don't know how.
It is the Chocoloco, Mexican chocolate stout with pan dulce, whatever that is.
Bro, you don't mix chocolate and alcohol. I'm not a big guy. I'm not big on that.
All right, so let's see. I'm going to go to the top here. Texas Southpaw. He loves the ideas of flex cards. So here's one of my pitches, milestones. When completing a major milestone, for example, 500 sets, instead of getting a jumbo NHL players pack, you get a choice of
Tell me
of
you didn't play NHL 19 without telling me you didn't play NHL 19.
You get a choice of an 86 overall milestones player with a milestone card art. Then after you complete two major milestones like team builder, you trade in two of those 86 overalls to 189, then two 94s, 198 overall. The stipulation are... Excuse me, burping. There are more milestone objectives to accommodate for offliners and onliners. After a few set completions, you get the green check mark, meaning you only get 198 overall choice pack. EA controls when the next tiers slash upgrade sets are released. This is so that the milestone cards don't get ahead of like McDavid, Gretzky, Lemieux, etc. But they're not irrelevant and trailing behind like most icons. With more tiers, they're... I can't talk right now.
Dude, it's one beer
longer.
Chat, and that's it. He's done.
Dude, it's like 9-10%, man. It's been a long day. I don't sleep on the weekends because I wake up to stream early and then do whatever else.
To take advantage of all the dads out there trying to play their champs games.
Dude, I had some tough games this weekend. So I was so hoping I was going to go 20-0 because I played like... good players this weekend. I was like, Sleaze, I played good players this weekend. What are you going to say this weekend? So in NHL 21, you had to log in for 200 days just to get Billy Smith in your 96 overall choice pack. Cool. So this idea takes the luck out, but allows you to enjoy players throughout the year. And Christmas players aren't locked to waiting 200 days either. Anyway, love the podcast. So we get so many things that I'm like, this is a great idea. This makes the game better. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, this is another thing that's in the game just to say it's in the game.
The milestones
like,
that are...
Dude, milestones... Okay, so everyone, if you don't remember NHL 19, maybe even 20. No, I think it was 19. It was you every... Was 19? No, every 19 was every month that you got one, right? But anyways, there was a time where milestones got you a card. So if you scored 2,000 goals... You got Mike Gartner's 96 or whatever it was, right? The problem
was
is that... Yeah, it was 19, yeah. The problem with that was that everyone kind of ended up with the same team, which I agree. Much like because in NHL 20, I think, was the monthly one where it was like every month you got one. If you cashed in the monthly collectibles, you got the same icon. You remember that?
I am losing track of years. I do
remember
that.
Yeah, it's one of the games.
I just wasn't sure.
Yeah. So, like, it was like, you know, Bobby Clark or whatever. If you logged in enough and cashed in enough monthly collectibles, you got Bobby Clark. And the problem was that by, like, the 3 months into the game, everyone has the same, like, top six. I think that... I just hate PAX, bro. I want a guaranteed reward. I'm just
so
exhausted,
bro. Guys, for full transparency, by the way... And I have no problem saying this. Whenever we were testing the game early on, whenever the game came out, I voiced my agitation, anger. I don't think it was anger with the fact that the milestones haven't changed at all. And they're also less rewarding. We get untradeable packs now. At least last year, whenever you got gold collectibles, it was like a set coin value you got. Right. So if you got you got nine collectibles, I think nine gold collectibles for winning 500 online games. That's 450,000 in coin value, right? Because they were like 50K each. This year, you get like an ultimate pack. I said these things. I am with you guys on this. I think this needs to change. This is a great idea.
The trend with NHL that is so disturbing is that every time there's an innovation, okay? So let's say Hut Rush is an innovation. An innovation means where they've introduced something new or changed it dramatically and improved upon what was in there. And while you guys might not like Hut Rush, if you were to take Hut Rush out of the game right now, it is legitimately the exact same game since NHL 19. So Hut Rush was an improvement to the game.
Yeah.
As was, you know, getting cards for the milestones, right? Just like X Factors are. The problem is that every time EA does one of these things, they're like, we're good for a couple of years with this thing. And it's like, they're just like, they put their feet back and they're like, what's the next thing we can add?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. They're like me at work. Once I send out a report or something, I'm good for a couple hours time.
Yeah, exactly. And like, they create good things, but then just never expand on that one thing. And it just eventually goes long enough where they're like, okay, we got to either get rid of this or which is what they usually do, like online seasons, like draft champs. They're just like, we'll get rid of it. Well, you know, in 3 years, we'll be like, it's back. And like, that's the new, like, you know, like, that's the new feature that's on the back of the box. And it's just like, Milestones is the same thing. Like, I bet nothing changes next year. Milestones was a great addition to the game. I remember the year, I remember it coming back in or being put into the game. And it's like, sweet, Gartner for 2,000 goals. I'm going to grind that 2,000 goals. Sick. And then it's like, a couple years goes by, this is awesome. Nah, we're good. We're going to make it so you just get collectibles or a choice pack. And then it's like, we'll just give them a jumbo elite. We're good. It's like, there's no innovation to it.
Single player
challenges, bro, are the most in the game to say they're in the game thing. That
I always forget to complain about them because I've never touched them.
Dude, yo, let me spend 18 hours of the most mind-numbingly boring thing to get 87,500 coins. Sure. But if you remove it, then it's like, you can't, at least you can say we have it in the game. Because in a list, it's like, well, you can play squad battles, you can play rivals, you can do Hut Rush, you can do offline challenges, right? But like, and that's just one less thing that you can say you do, even though it's awful and it hasn't been changed in years. Dude, I made a video in NHL 18 about here is the most effective way to earn coins doing single offline challenges. It is the exact same amount of coins.
You should just republish it.
It is, I could literally do that. And it is the exact same value. And it's just what's going to happen with Milestones. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Like, X Factors in the upgrade system, bro, it's just, that's what it's going to be. Like, that's what it's going to be.
I am glad I enjoy the competing aspect of this, because if I played the game for the mode itself, I think I don't think I'd be playing the game.
Side note before we go to the next question, because this is just a 2-hour podcast. Okay. Do you think, if GWC was, we've said this before, if it was not a thing, does Hut lose everything? And here's the thing, it can't, because there's only so few people that actually make GWC.
It would. No, here's why, though, because I remember before GWC, right? Like, I've been around for a long time. Before GWC, there were like the Hut Lords that they were good in Hut, but they weren't good players, right?
They're called Hut Heroes.
The Hut Heroes, right? Hut Lords, Hut Heroes. So NHL 19 came around, right? And then it was introduced like, hey, NHL 19, we're going to play GWC through Hut. So I didn't have a Hut team. I remember playing on my buddy's account. His name is Reej. And I remember it was the first time I had played Hut in a long time. And I went online. I did like a comp season. I was using like his terrible team. Like, it was like a, probably now it'd be like a D7 team, right? Like, it was, there are other teams way better than me. I remember matching up with like Hazy Hype, I believe, and like somebody else. I went 14-0.
Destroyed
these guys. Okay.
Word to Pat Shan, the Hut Hero, before the versus guys.
I remember
came.
Him. So I went 14-0. I got ranked number one the first time I played this, right? Because, like, there are people like Gren wasn't playing, Regs wasn't playing. Junior Penn started to play because he probably had some insider information. But, like, the good players weren't playing in Hut. So, like, I would get messages like, oh, who the hell are you? Like, what are you doing? Or whatever, right? So before there were these top players in there, it was, like, the Hut Heroes. So the Gren, Regs, etc., they wouldn't be streaming Hut on Twitch at night, whatever. I think it would go back to that time where there aren't as many views on it on the Twitch directory. Not as many people are playing. The whales, right? So, like, you got Nip and Biscuit spending $3,000 a year.
Cool, dude, he's paying salaries.
He's Ben Ross's vacation to Disney or wherever he's going, or whatever they get.
Nippin funded that.
Gren funded a little bit of it. Me and you funded a little. We paid for like.
Dude, we paid covered for a month's beers, salary, you know? For a few people. Yeah,
but like a lot of the people that play like Hut for GWC are the big spenders. Like I play against like that Jared guy that plays.
The only thing I think about though is that MLB is the worst. While it's the best ultimate team mode, it is the worst esports game.
But it's the best ultimate team mode, and it's fun for people to grind, right? Like I have a friend that doesn't even play online on MLB. He doesn't even watch baseball. He plays Diamond Dynasty for the offline grind, and he plays it while he like works and stuff because he works from home. And it's just
this makes me sad.
Game. Yeah. So,
but anyways, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you know would Hut be. It'd be what it is right now. GWC is not like it's driving the engagement on Twitch and YouTube.
It drives the competitive aspect because there's no leaderboards, which is another thing. They're like, we don't need those.
But it's not making EA make the mode any better. So yeah.
I selfishly just want Hut to be so good.
I'm gonna go to the next question here from Lunger15. All right. Mm-hmm. So this week, I really like this question because I've messaged the devs quite a bit about this. This week was my first time ever completing all 37 squad battles games. I can now appreciate the frustration of getting a perfect score and watching people jump you on the leaderboard with the use of replays. I think a simple solution to the RNG-based rewards would be to simply add a cost of, say, 50 points to replays. There will still be RNG across players with few or no replays, but at least they will get all the higher tier rewards over somebody that plays 60 games and gets lucky. Thoughts? Is this something that EA could implement now, or would it have to be revamped next release? It's something that they could implement.
Dude, why is there a ranking? If you go 37 games in squad battles, first of all, like prayers to you, because if you can actually do that, God, man, you're a better man than I. But if you go 37 games against Superstar AI and you get the maximum amount of points, you deserve number one. Why are we leaving it to RNG? It should be a flat point, much like Rivals. Why are we competing against other people when it's not really fair because it's based on points and how you do? If I beat you 2-1 and get less points because Hazy Hype glitched the matchmaking thing, played some Div 7, Andy, and won 5-0, his win is more impressive to EA's ranking system than me beating you 2-1, which is just absolutely asinine. However, in squad battles, bro, if you max it out, like, why? Why is it not just like, hey, if you get 37 and you went perfect, rank 1. That is the ultimate diamond superpowered level.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. That's what it should be. It should not be. It should not have anything like that. It's like, whatever.
I had some thoughts to make squad battles more fun for myself, at least, because I'll never play it. I did get ranked number 1 in squad battles this year.
Enough.
I had the game on a Monday.
You're lucky I made content. You're lucky I'm making YouTube videos.
Sleeves and Thrash that had the game early were making content. I played squad battles. The season ended. The season, I got the game like 3 hours before the season ended. I played like 2 games. I got the number 1 rank rewards. I got 100,000 coins. So I am a former number 1 squad battler. Let me add that to my resume.
I was number 1 in 20.
Wow.
Or 21. I did the same thing you did.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I would like to see like a faster squad battles mode where it's like you're competing on maybe a leaderboard or something for who can get the most goals in one game. And get rewards on that, sort of like, and it's just like I said earlier in the episode, how I grew up, right? Like, I remember playing the, like, Xbox Live arcade games, where you would play, like, these offline games, and you can, you know, like, get a high score or whatever. That would be fun, even if it's like, oh, who can glitch the computer, but it doesn't matter. It's fun.
Here's the thing, bro. It is an offline mode, correct?
It's an offline mode.
Why are they ranking it as if it's online?
There's a lot of offline games that have rankings online, like high scores and stuff.
But why?
Because it's fun to compete against, like, racing games have, like, where you do time trials, have it online. This is still, come on now, Sleeves.
I still, I guess it's a different genre. Like, but, like, I don't know, maybe the...
In this instance, it should be, like, did you get your max points, you get the max rewards.
I'm watching Louie, because he streams it, and he does the refresh, and he's like, God, I hope I get a good reroll. And it's like, God, is that, like...
Is that fun? Is that how you want to spend your life? Probably not. They need to fix this.
They won't.
They won't.
It'll be the exact same next year. Anyways.
Yeah, so that was that. Maze asked, loving the podcast. He was also sick, so he ended up watching, he said watch the old NHL videos. But anyway, how would you guys feel for a best of five instead of a best of three for the GWC finals? I think anything, if you increase the total games without going like overboard, anytime you increase like a best of whatever, you decrease variance, right? So best of five is better than best a best of three.
As someone who does as a job, like casting, seven is too much.
I just agree
because
with you.
It's at least 20 minutes a game. You have to average about 30 minutes because there's like they got to reset the game, all that. So you're looking at, you know, seven. Well, six would be what, 3 hours? So like no shot, like that's just too much. Five is what it should be. Yeah. But again, it's a broadcast. So you know, even five is quite a bit because you've got like a pregame and all that.
Yeah, five's a lot. As long as it's not best of one, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. It just can't be best of one. Even double a limb, but I think best of three is, you know, best of three single limb is probably the best way up until a point.
Yeah. Large Ank asked, and this is a completely off topic question. He has four of them, or three questions. At your funeral, what song would you play? What would you have everybody eat? And what would you write on your gravestone? Okay. This is one that needs some thought here.
I'm like a traditionalist. It's pretty easy for me. My dad's side of my family was born in Scotland. Like my grandmother and my dad were both born in Dunglow, Scotland. I think I'm saying that right. My dad was very young when he came back here, or when they moved over here. When my grandmother passed away, Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, which is devastating sound you will ever hear. So that is what I would like at my funeral. It's just amazing. It's amazingly emotional. Like, it's sad, but like I love the sound of it. If you don't know what it sounds like, everyone knows what Amazing Grace sounds like. Go listen to what it sounds like on bagpipes. It hits hard. In terms of food, it's like, what would they serve at my wedding? I mean, like funeral. I've been to a lot of funerals, and like
I don't remember getting served food.
Yeah, I mean, no, you go to the reception. Yeah, the reception. Like, like pizza. Yeah. You know, I don't want people to have to go through like a gourmet meal. Like, just, you know, get a good slice of za. I'm a big Pizza Hut guy. I grew up on Pizza Hut because my dad was a criminal accountant for the company that owns Pizza Hut.
Oh, okay.
Like, I ate Pizza Hut as a kid for just way too much. And
it's deliciously good.
It's just stupid expensive is the issue, which is like the biggest issue of it. But it is worth it, in my opinion. I think it's the best fast food pizza that you can get.
Yeah.
And then what was the last part of that?
What would you write on your gravestone? That's a hard
fortune one. Favors the bold.
Okay, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Did you see that commercial?
Yeah.
Did you see that? Oh, yeah. Sponsored by Bitcoin. Yeah. As long as they set your wife up with like some Bitcoin, I'm assuming you're gonna die before she does, so you know a little payoff.
Yeah.
At my funeral, what song would you play? I have no idea. This is such a crazy I've thought about my funeral before, right? Men live unhealthier lives than their wives. It's just a fact. We're dumber. I eat worse than her. She works out way more than me. So I'm probably gonna die first. I want people to have fun at my funeral.
I want to be fun. Yeah, I need some fun.
I love, listen.
Open bar would be better than any food that I could offer.
Yeah, open bar. This is very specific. If there's anybody that listens to this podcast or our listeners, I would probably play a Mountain Goats song at my funeral. A lot of people don't listen to them. Very niche band. I'd probably play a Mountain Goats song. Not sure which one, but, you know. What would everybody eat? Fried chicken sandwiches. You know, I love fried chicken sandwiches.
Okay.
It would be written on my gravestone. Something spiteful. I don't like the Catholic Church. You know, something spiteful. I'm going
Fair
out in a blaze of glory.
Fair
so,
enough.
Yeah, yeah. Very specific here. This was a very off the wall question, wasn't it, Sleeves?
Dude, it was.
It was such, I like it though.
Yeah.
Then there's some questions here that are very like, very in-depth. But somebody did mention to me, I think in your Discord earlier, and then there's a question here. Any tips for adjusting strats on the fly during a game? Somebody had some things related to that. And like, when would you do it? Stuff like that.
Okay, so if you are giving up the same goal, that is when you need to change your strategies. The easiest one that I take notice of is how they break the puck out of the zone. If they carry the puck out of the zone with one player or make one pass and they take that player through the neutral zone, you need to switch to the 1-4. If they pass the puck repeatedly through the from their zone into the neutral zone into your zone, you need to use the 1-2-2 red. And you need to watch a video and learn how to actually use those two and what they look like and how to use them effectively. You can go to Sleeveless Gaming on YouTube. And the other one is I will give my man Kesso credit. If you are unable to score and you are finding that you are being forced to the outside because someone does not want to challenge you in a quote unquote skill zone, you switch to overload and just start firing for pads for the backdoor rebound.
You just answered the question what I was going to say too.
In the defensive zone, if someone if I see one more person that I play in a game, this has happened 3 or 4 times this week from two idiots that either stream snipe me or I've just had the luck of playing against. If I see someone come in and I play someone and they sit behind my net in the corner and they only force a pass, and I'm not talking like, you know, like they skate around a bunch and then that's the one. I mean, they will only be in the corner and their only move is to fire it, try to go backdoor tap in. And you get mad that I take my centerman and I sit him in the crease and you come into my chat and tell me I'm skill zoning. You're an idiot because you're just skill zoning. Like that is the skill zoning of offense. If you have no creativity and your only way is to go around in a circle and fire it backdoor, and you get upset that I force you to do literally anything else because it is the easiest thing to maneuver. All you've got to do is pass it around a bunch, and eventually skill zoning is null and void. But, man, I am stunned by the amount. Dude, I played a kid that probably gets 16 or 17 wins every week in Hut Champs, and he's a very good player because he played decently offensively. He scored 2 goals on me immediately, and they were the exact same way, and he would not move any other way. I spent the rest of the game close net or collapsing protect net, and I swear to God I did not move my player off the goal line. Like, he was literally in my goalie and I did not move, and he skated around the corner. He got mad, eventually he'd force a pass, he'd turn it over, and then I'd go the other way, and I ended up winning. And the kid came into my chat and just lost his mind that I'm a skill zoning loser, and I'm like, bro, I don't skill zone on the regular, but if you're only doing one thing and the skill zone is meant, like, putting your centerman in front of the goaltender, it is meant to stop one play. And if that is your only play, like, that's on you, not me. Anyways.
Yeah, here's the thing. Whenever you do that, right, like, let's say he would have adjusted, right? Let's say he passes to the point. The first few times he does that, you're not going to chase him at the point. He can skate in for a slap shot, and there's a screen on the goalie.
Mm-hmm. You are literally screening your goaltender.
Oh, that brought up another thing. Are deflections broken in the game now?
They, like, don't work.
So the new
D2D one-timers do.
So the patch that came out last week allegedly didn't touch deflections. And I asked people. I've only seen one. I saw my first deflection goal in about 40 games. Prior, I was seeing them, like, every 2 games.
Dude, when they release a patch, I have such a hard time not being like they broke the game, because a lot of it is like there is a hard focus moment. When you're playing Hockey Ultimate Team, the progression is so slow. But eventually, like, if you went and played, if the game was exactly the same, you went from October's team to a February team, the game is far different. Like, if you were to go and play one next to the other, right?
Yeah.
But if you're, it's like losing weight. Like, you're not seeing it every single day, right? But then eventually there's a point where you're like, oh, my jean size went down. Then you look in the mirror and you're like, all right, I kind of see it a little bit,
well,
right?
It's also like the old, what's that thing? Do you remember that? It's like if a ship leaves the dock and every single day you replace one piece of wood on the ship, right? And it arrives like 400 days later at a new location, right? Every single piece of wood has been replaced on the ship, but at no point were they all, like, replaced at once. Is it a different ship, or is it the same ship that left, right? So, like, if the gameplay's adjusted and small things are changed, is it the same game now, or is it a completely different game?
That's what I mean. So, like, because there's a patch, it's like now we have a focus point of, like, something is different, and now we're hard focusing on little plays that have probably been happening for months, and we're just not noticing it. Right? Because the problem is when EA does patches like this, they do like 2 things. And then you go to Ben and it's like, we didn't touch skating. And I believe him. It's like, we did not touch skating. But it's like, everyone can see and it's like, there's a patch that happened this day. Now I'm noticing stuff that's different, but it's been happening. And that's what I think a lot of it happens. But my God, like, dude, I was telling everyone to hold R1 in triangle 3 weeks ago.
I told you that didn't work.
I won 15 games in hot chance.
That's because you were playing well.
I won 15 game change.
That's because you were playing well.
The patch happened, and I'm back to, I keep getting disconnects. But, like, I'm back to just being like, I could get 14 or 13.
Yeah.
And I can't, what I found effective with doing it the first time, I'm not finding it at all. It's not causing incidental contact, but.
I do notice the, whatchamacallit, the deflections just don't happen anymore.
I think DDD one-timers do. They go in. You know what I find? When you're walking in from a point, or at any point, even on a breakaway, if you look at the goaltender, he is, like, always one shade to the left or right. Like, if you look at the part of the net the goalie's getting you...
it's hard to, like, see that, though, and also see where, like, the person's defending.
But if someone is skill zoning, and you have a chance to walk in from the point, have an eye, because, you could score very easily with it, with a slap shot. I find it goes in more than DDD one-timers, but yeah,
that's... It does work well. So, like, I had this issue today, right? Like, I've had four hot champs now in a row where I either went 20-0 or I lost one game. And the games I lost were all by one goal. And I'm a perfectionist, right? So I'm thinking, like, I don't want to lose that one game. So, like, I'm thinking, like, going back to the games I lost, it was like a 3-2 loss or something. And I got into the habit running behind the net, right? Like, and maybe my plays didn't work or something. Like, I have to start scoring from the defense more. So, like, I'm activating, like, CNI and, like, 1T again. But I noticed, like, I had a chance today where I skated in. And the goalie was on the right side of the net. I had the whole left side open, but I shot to the right just because, like, I was just, like, thinking, like, oh, I'm just going to take the shot to the right. For, like, I already made up my mind. I think I have to, like, train myself, like, in those games to, like, I just have to start skating in and shooting, you know? And it's going to work.
I agree, man. Well, okay, we're at an hour and a half. We got to call.
Yeah, we did too much, I think.
For all the homies, I want to know in chat, I want you to type the word banger in my comment section if you actually stayed the full time, so I can find out who the real ones are, because this is an hour and a half of us just ranting for the most part. Yeah. And I apologize if it's too negative, but man, I am just, it's because it's my job. Like, God, I want the game to be better, because then
selfishly
I get bigger as a creator, like, you know what I mean? But, like,
yeah.
You know, it sucks. But hey, next week I am going to Florida for the Tampa Bay Lightning esports event. We didn't even talk about that. I'll be traveling on Friday and flying out. I'm really excited for my first LAN in 2 years ago, in 2020, right before pandemic happened. So I'll be back Sunday right before the Super Bowl. We're recording on Monday next week. So
we are recording on Monday next week because I'm going to be busy that weekend.
Yep, fair enough. All right, guys, love you. Thank you for watching, and we will see you next time. Peace out, guys.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.